Performance-related specifications, or PRS, can help transportation agencies improve their infrastructure systems. Dr. Nasser Garaibe joins the podcast to discuss the difference PRS makes for future performance. Transportation infrastructure. It's what keeps our economy moving and gets people safely where they need to go. But maintaining safe, reliable infrastructure assets is a complex challenge that requires innovative solutions. I'm Nick Frank from Agile Assets, and I'll be your guide as we navigate through the complex and evolving world of infrastructure asset management. My guest today is Dr. Nasser Garaibe. Dr. Garaibe is an associate professor of civil engineering at Texas A&M University. His research goal is to improve the management processes and performance of infrastructure systems in ways that contribute to creating more sustainable and resilient communities. Dr. Garaibe, thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so first of all, tell me a little bit about your role at Texas A&M University.
I'm an associate professor. I teach infrastructure management for graduate students here at A&M. And I teach a couple of computing-related courses for undergrad students. The other part of my job is to do research. So I work on my research work focuses on essentially devising decision support models and tools for managing infrastructure systems in an optimal and sustainable way. These models and tools are used for a number of practical things like assessing the performance of infrastructure systems, predicting infrastructure deterioration under environmental effects, and planning infrastructure maintenance and renewal projects. So that's basically what I do at Texas A&M.
Well, perfect. Well, there's about 10 different things that you and I could talk about today based on what you're working on, but we'll be really specific today and we'll talk about more about performance related specifications and topics like that. So let's dive right into our big topic today. What are performance related specifications?
Performance related specifications, they are statistical specifications. They put more emphasis on linking initial quality and payment to the product's future performance, as opposed to other forms of specifications. You know, PRS or performance-related specifications, they do that by specifying quality in terms of construction and material properties that correlate with future performance. We call these properties, the kind of technical term for them is acceptance quality characteristics, or AQCs. So if you hear me say AQC during this conversation, I mean by it acceptance quality characteristics.
How are PRS, the performance-related specifications, how is that different from method specifications or quality control and quality assurance specifications?
So they're really different from method specifications. Method specifications tend to focus on how the contractor should build the product. That's what the word method is coming from. It's about the processes and the methods by which a product is built. In our case, it's pavement. PRS stays away from method. So it's up to the contractor to be innovative, creative on how they build the product or pavement. And instead, it focuses on measuring things that we call acceptance quality characteristics that correlate with the future performance. They are similar to QC, quality control, quality assurance specifications in a sense that both are based on statistical principles. But PRS tend to focus more on future performance or linking initial quality to future performance more than typical QC, QA specification.
When the contractor is working out in the field, what are some of the typical tests that are needed for these performance-related specifications?
There are a number of AQCs that we test in the field for concrete pavement and for asphalt pavement. Some of the common ones for asphalt pavement is asphalt content, gradation, like the percentage passing sieve 200, number 200, in-place air voids, AC layer thickness, specific gravity of the mix, initial smoothness can be measured in terms of initial IRI or International Roughness Index, or some agencies use profile index. Those are some of the tests that PRS use for flexible pavement or asphalt pavements. There are similar ones for concrete pavement. For concrete pavement, typically PRS use concrete strength, and sometimes that's compressive strength or flexural strength, slab thickness, air content. And if the pavement has joints and use dowel bars, consolidation around dowel bars are typically measured. And finally, initial smoothness, just like for asphalt pavement, we can use IRI or profile index for that. You know, the key thing really here is to note that those tests that we do, they need to meet some criteria, right? And that criteria is, first, they need to be measurable at the time of construction. Things that we can measure quickly during construction, because that gives the contractor time to make adjustments. So we need to get the results as quickly as possible to the contractor. Another factor is, or another part of the criteria is, that they need to be under the control of the contractor. So remember, in PRS, payment get adjusted based on those results. And all of those tests that I just mentioned are under the control, or can be controlled, by the contractor or the material supplier. And finally, and that goes to the heart of PRS, they need to correlate with future performance. So we test things that, based on data, based on research, we believe affect the future performance. And all of these tests that I mentioned, there is evidence that they do and actually affect future performance.
That's awesome. And if you've listened to Move Your Assets before, you know we love talking about data and the importance of good data in, good data out. So that's great. So you mentioned both concrete and asphalt pavements. So what are some of the common distress elements used in these PRSs for those concrete and asphalt pavements?
So for concrete pavement, some of the distresses that can be linked back to those AQCs that we just talked about and are used in PRS include transverse cracking, joint faulting, joint spalling, and roughness, or IRI. There are similar ones for asphalt pavement as well. So for asphalt, those distress types would be bottom-up fatigue cracking, top-down fatigue cracking, permanent deformation, or what we usually call rutting, thermal cracking, and roughness, or IRI.
So I'm a local agency. I decide that now is the time to start implementing these performance-related specifications. How can performance models be used with PRSs to be validated? And how can then, you know, leadership stakeholders be confident in the results?
That's really an important question with some human factor to it. Some of the things that agencies can do is to do field studies to really provide good evidence that future performance is affected by those initial quality characteristics that we test, and check, validate those models to prove that connection, the connection between future performance in terms of those distress types that we just listed, and the initial quality characteristics that we also just listed. They can do PRS field trials. I know a number of states have done that. They before, you know, doing a wide scale implementation of PRS, they pick a few projects and they try them out. Another thing is, you know, training and, you know, education to both agency staff and contractors. I think that helps. Generally, when people understand the process, they accept it. So education and training, I think, helps with that aspect of it.
I like that. It's taking the time, taking the effort to put in the time to make sure that, you know, your the content that you're putting in is going to be as good coming out and that you're going to be able to get the most from this as possible. And so we know this is not a new thing that, you know, agencies are always, you know, worried about budget and worried about how much is this going to cost and what is this going to, you know, how many projects can we work on it and things of that nature based on what our budget is. So how are pay adjustments or pay factors for the contractor set for PRS?
Contractor pay is adjusted based on the difference in the total life cycle cost of the as-built product and the total life cycle cost of the as-designed product. If you think of it as a chain, we start with the initial quality, we use models to predict future performance, and then we convert those future performance curves, if you will, into life cycle cost. So one stream would be for as-built pavement, that's what the contractor delivers. And another stream would be for the as-designed, that's what the agency is hoping to get. Based on that difference between these two life cycle costs, payment get adjusted. This way, incentives and disincentives are justified by either increase or decrease in the total life cycle cost difference.
And following up on that, how can the risk be balanced between the agency and the contractor?
Whenever we use sampling, there is risk. So sampling is used to represent a population. The risk is that it comes from, is the sample truly representative of the population? In the case of PRS, the risk to contractors is essentially the likelihood of rejecting good quality material that should have been accepted or even assigned a bonus or a pay increase. There is also a risk to the agency. It's a similar but opposite risk to the agency, and that would be the likelihood of accepting or even giving a bonus to a product that is poor quality, that should have been rejected or should have been assigned a pay decrease. Now, these risks can be calculated. Statistics and math allow us to calculate these risks, quantify them ahead of time before implementing the project. There's a process called operating characteristic curves. Those curves can be calculated for any given project. And contractors and agency look at them and make a kind of determination, you know, is this acceptable to them or not? And ultimately, make adjustments until the risk is acceptable. You know, we can manage these risks in a couple of ways. One, have a good and balanced sampling plan. In the heart of that is to be as sure as possible that those tests that we do on samples are representative of the true population, the whole product. Another thing is to establish target values that are realistic, that are achievable by contractors. And there are ways to make sure that target values for the AQCs, for the initial quality characteristics, are set in a realistic way. We can look at, past projects, historical projects in our agency and determine, you know, in the past, those targets have been achieved. So it is reasonable to expect to achieve them in the future. That kind of reduces the fear factor, if you will, for contractors and the agency.
So you mentioned kind of looking in the past.
what examples of agencies have you seen that have successfully implemented a PRS? And, you know, and kind of more to that question is, what challenges did they face? You know, what are some lessons that they kind of learned along the way? Because I'm sure it wasn't, you know, perfect the first time they tried to implement it. So what are some things that, you know, they would face and how they overcame some of those challenges?
Yeah, here in the United States, agencies that come to mind, Florida, California, Wisconsin, Indiana, Tennessee, state DOTs or state departments of transportation have successfully implemented PRS, at least on selected projects. The kind of the lesson learned from these successful implementations, I think, was engaging both the industry and the highway agency in the PRS development process. Like I said, this goes along with kind of training and education on how these PRS are developed, what's the basis for them. So if the in all of these cases that I know about, there were several meetings between industry representatives, if you will, and agency staff. They were kept up to date on the process of developing the PRS. That, I think, kind of made them more comfortable with it. Like I said, some kind of fear factor about the idea of adjusting payment based on predicted performance and statistical sampling. Getting everybody engaged in the development process early on, I think that helps. To me, that's kind of the main lesson learned.
And, you know, another trend that I feel like we're seeing is more agencies are trying to move away from, you know, their own Excel spreadsheets to more pavement management systems to do kind of the same thing, which is to plan and to look ahead into the future and try to, you know, put their resources into the most viable spots. And as we talk about pavement management systems, how can they help support the effectiveness of PRS?
PMS is a really good source of data. Go back to, I think, one of your early questions about, you know, validating models and enhancing them. So PMS, you know, in any pavement management system, pavement condition data get collected on a regular basis, you know, maybe once a year, once every 2 years or so. But there is a good source of data for, you know, developing and validating and improving performance prediction models.
Dr. Garibe, you have been a fantastic guest. Before I let you go, do you have any final thoughts on this specific topic or on anything that you feel like is related that we didn't touch on?
No, I think we covered, you know, kind of the basic idea, the basic concept, and I thank you for inviting me and for, you know, helping get this information out to the pavement community everywhere.
Well, I appreciate you joining, and hopefully maybe we can have you on again at some later point to talk about one of your other fantastic areas of expertise. So once again, Dr. Nasir Garibe, thank you for joining Move Your Assets.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you want to learn more about transportation asset management strategies that save time, money, and lives, head on over to agileassets.com. Once again, thank you to Dr. Nasir Garibe for sharing his expertise with us today. I'm Nick Frank. Join us again next month for another edition of Move Your Assets.